Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here, and thank you so much for choosing Living Hope as your place of worship this morning. Again, I get to start off by saying Merry Christmas because it is a joyful time. It's a joyous time to be able to talk about Christmas and to celebrate Christmas today. Before I get started, though, I wanted just to, we mentioned this during the cafe and stuff, we do have a time of giving that is really important, just this time of month and stuff. One is for our Lottie Moon that Wendy will speak about next week. If you are inclined to give to the Lottie Moon, it's still not too late, and this goes to missions all throughout, people being able to share the Christmas story, being able to share about Jesus Christ all around the world. And so we would love for you to be able to give to that. And also, we do have an angel tree out there as well for some families, a couple families that are in need. And so if you would like to participate in the angel tree, I'd love to talk to you more about that after the service. But I am excited here this morning to speak with you about some great truths about the wonder of Jesus' birth. Over the next 2 weeks, I want to share just a few key truths about Christmas through prophecy and what that actually would entail and what that would actually look like for us. I want to remind us, first of all, is that Jesus' identity was validated through scriptures and then fulfilled through prophecy. I want to read that again. Jesus' identity, who he was as the Son of God, was validated through scriptures and the fulfillment by his prophecy, by the fulfillment of the prophecy that was said before him. You know, in life, every single day, we all have to actually prove who we are every once in a while in all different types of scenarios, especially as a twin, being identical twins. I have to prove who I am sometimes. People will ask, are you Eric? Are you Troy? Or which one are you? And I'll have to, sometimes I'll have to, no, you're really Eric. Or I really am Troy. And you have to, we've had to do that over the years because people either say you're looking more alike or y'all are so different. Y'all don't look anything alike. And the more that you know us, but if you don't know us that well and you see us for the first time, it's funny because people are always constantly, didn't I just talk to you? And weren't you just wearing that? And were you preaching and playing the drum? How do you do that? I was like, well, I don't and stuff. So there's two of us, if you're wondering. Or if you think you might have talked to one of us and you're like, I just told you my name. And then someone else, that's happened quite a bit. What about going to the bank? Going to the bank, you got to constantly prove yourself. I go to the bank at least once a week. I drive up through the teller. I see the exact same two people over and over and over and over again. I'm like 10 feet away from them. They know me. They talk to me every single day. And they still want my driver's license to show proof of who I am. I was like, you know who I am. I still have to have your driver's license. I was like, oh my goodness. So they got to send the thing back. I got to put it back in there and stuff. So we got to constantly prove. It's constantly proven also through police departments. You know, when different people are pulling people over, they want to make sure that you are who you say that you are. School personnel has to do it. But more importantly, probably more than any person in the history of the world that had to prove who he was. Matter of fact, it's still proven today. And so often that we, as believers in Christ, are showing the proof that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And who he said he was during that time. Of 2,000 years of that time, and people talking about this coming Messiah, and that he was going to come, and people didn't expect the way he was going to come and how it was going to happen, but he did do exactly what he said he was going to do through the prophecy and through the word of God and through God Almighty. He came. And that's what we want to talk about today. Over and over, people questioned him if he was the true Jewish Messiah, if he And how could it be even possible that he was born the way that he was born? Did the miraculous conception through Mary as a virgin play inside her by the Holy Spirit? And then to go on and live a literally perfect life. How was that possible? See, the Jews were looking for someone different. They were looking for him to come in a different way. And I want to ask you the question, how do you see Jesus? How do you expect him to come into your life each and every day? And how often do we miss it? How often do we miss the way that God has said this is the way it's going to work? Yet at this time, sometimes we don't feel his Spirit. We don't realize that he's inside of us, the Holy Spirit, and that he's actually working through our life. And how often we forget that. And how often we feel like he is so far away from us that it cannot be true that he's living and working and breathing and using us in a miraculous way, just like he was 2,000 years ago. The same stories and the same things that were happening then are the same stories and miraculous things that can happen in your life today. And I believe it's true. So how would we validate his identity? Well, we would validate it through the fulfillment of prophecy. Look at this scripture in Luke 1, 22 through 23. And you can go ahead and start opening up God's word to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 just shows really quickly the fulfillment of his prophecy. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message. Don't you like that? Right off the bat, he's letting us know that Jesus is going to be fulfilled through a prophet, through the prophecy of 700 years prior towards this. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet saying, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and this son's name is going to be Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Emmanuel, God with us, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our Lord and our Savior. Church family, the validity, the truth, that he was truly the Messiah hangs on the balance, that he fulfills all the scripture, that he fulfills every single prophecy from the Old Testament. If Jesus Christ did not fulfill all the prophecy laid out 700 years before his birth, Christianity would be the greatest fraud. It would be the greatest mishap. It would be the greatest tragedy that one could ever experience today. Yet, over 2 billion people are believing and following. It's the number one, not just religion, it's the number one relationship in the world. There's nothing, no other religious institution has even come close to what Christianity has built their faith and their belief on. Not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Confucius, not Buddha, no other person that's ever lived or will ever live will ever come close to trying to build some type of faith or religion other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died for you and for I. Now, I want to take a second about biblical prophecy. Since we hang our hat on this one thing that Jesus Christ was fulfilled, and Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophecy through this virgin birth. To fulfill biblical prophecy, it has to do 3 main things, and I hope that you will put this in your notes, because there's a lot of teaching out there that talks about prophecy, spiritual gifts, and the whole idea, is this really true? Should I really hold my hat? Should I really put my weight onto this book right here that's been possibly sitting on my shelf or sitting in every single hotel room or the thing that I bring with me every day? Wherever you go, is this what I should hold my hat on right now? Being able to fulfill the biblical prophecy, it verifies 3 things. It verifies that God is real. Our God, that you and I believe in is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's been proven. It's biblically proven. It's archaeology proven. People have found the stuff. There's still stuff still there. There is no mishap. There's no lies. There's nothing that would tell you any different that God is not real and didn't do the things he says. And what I love about it too is that you can understand them. You can understand what's in the Word. And what I like also is that the fact that he is personal to each and every one of us. There's nothing else out there that offers you this personal relationship other than God himself. Number two, it verifies that the Bible is true. The theognostos, that God is breathed. The theognostos, that God is breathed out. That this book is not just words of men, that just these men just penned it. But the Word of God, that he literally spoke this world into existence through his Word. That he spoke it. There are scientists, there are people out there that will tell you that it happens in all different ways. I want to tell you the truth. It happened because he spoke it into existence. That's what I will bank my life on. That's how it happened. Not from all these other different ways and myths and fairy tales and other human beings that are saying and what they think and speculate could have happened. I know what happened because God's Word said what happened. He spoke it into existence. And then these men that wrote, he spoke into the hearts and the minds that he chose. This is a living book from a living God. And we should never forget that. Guys, this is a living book. It's a living book. It's going with this. As a matter of fact, there's only a few eternal things, and this is one of them. God, his Word, and every single believer. Those are the only things that will ever last. That's it. These are the three eternal things. And number three, it authenticates the deity of Christ, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Something that many people still today are trying to grapple with and grasp, and no eye has seen and no mind can conceive what God has in store for those. And in the intelligence of the intelligence, he frustrates because you can't figure him out. I don't want a God that I can actually figure out completely, but I do want a God that's going to help me be able to understand him more and more, to draw close to him. How he does things is way beyond what I can even comprehend. But he does it, and he shows it to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Bible prophecy is far different than any other speculative word or future predictions that a lot of times that we're accustomed to hearing. Back in the day when I was growing up, there was a popular man by the name of Nostradamus. How many of you guys have heard of him? Some of my age and older probably have heard of him. He was a predictor of all these different things and fell flat. It was a fake prophecy. It was a fake prophet claiming that the world would come to an end, or he could make all these predictions, and then people and all these minds would come together and say that this is what he was saying, and this is what he was saying, and this is how it's going to happen. And then you would have these other fake prophets that would come in. You'd have your Marshall Applewhite or your David Koresh or different people that would be false teachers saying, even the whole entire tribe of millions of people from the Mayan would create a calendar that they could figure out and follow all these things. And then in the early 2000s, that they would say, you know, as I was even teaching in one of my classes on the Incas and the Mayans and the Aztecs, and I was saying, by the way, we should all be dead right now. Try to explain that to all the sixth graders, because they are all coming to me. I heard that we're supposed to die pretty soon. Well, you could. If you keep talking, interrupting, you may. But I said, go to bed tonight. If you don't wake up, they were true. If you wake up, it's not true. And all these predictions and all these things that man-made stuff, people will hang their hats. People will put their hope in. People will go to Sam's and spend $50,000 and find a shelter and get ready and jump on the rooftop. You know, our urgency should be that of Christ, not of man-made things. That's our urgency, is to let many people know about Christ. But there's a lot of false teaching out there. A lot. Saying that God will wants every single person to be prosperous. Saying that God wants every single one of us to be rich. Saying that God wants every single person to be healthy. Saying that God wants that there's different ways to get to heaven. How many of you guys have heard that? How many of you heard that? You just put your hand on that screen and give me your credit card. Dial as fast as you can, because the healing of that will come as quick as you can throw that $30 my way. Jump up here. Get on up here. Let me grab this beautiful coat that I got, and I'll slam you around everywhere and throw you off this thing. We've seen things, and we've seen these prosperous, fake, false teachers and prophets that will say anything to get all sorts of stuff. And I need you to hear this. And the reason why it's important for you guys to know this is because it's happening more and more than any other time. What was trending back then, in terms of my series, what I'm talking about, is the same stuff is still trending right now. And people are following into this temptation and these trials. And it's sad to me that people are not using wisdom and discernment, understanding what biblical prophecy and what it truly actually means. And let me tell you, you need to get these in your notes. There are five requirements for true prophecy and for a real prophet, for a real teacher. Number one, the real prophet must be 100% accurate every time. 100%. If you're a true prophet, there's no error, because it's coming from the God Almighty. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, if a prophet declares a prediction that what? Fails. He is not to be believed. He is not a man from God. Verse 18 to 22. And look at what the people asked. Well, how should we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? That's a great question back then. Matter of fact, it's a great question for us today. How many of you ever had someone ever come up to you and say, I have a word from God for you? I'm always willing to listen. I'm always willing to listen to anybody. Especially when they start off by saying, I have a word for you from God. I've had people here and over the years tell me they had a lot of words for me from God. The Lord told me to tell you this. And I listen. But I'm going to listen with discernment. I'm going to listen with wisdom. I'm going to listen to see if that word has something to do with this word right here. If it stands with this, I'll listen to it. But here's what I would end up saying. I know the Lord has a word for me. But what is the Lord saying to you is a bigger question. What does He want for you? Not so much what is He wanting for me, what is He wanting for you in your life? Because that's a bigger question of how God's going to use you throughout your journey, throughout your spiritual life. Because each and every single one of us have our own personal relationship, our own spiritual gifts, our own abilities, our own talents. And God has a word, and the Holy Spirit can work through you, and it's going to work differently for each and every single one of us. So how will you know it's not from the Lord? There's the $1,000 question. Verse 22, watch this. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord had not spoken. The prophet has spoken, it is presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. A real prophet and a prophecy must be 100% accurate every single time. Number two, the prophet must never say anything that would undermine God's word. Period. It should never, ever undermine God's word. If you ever hear anyone say something that is contrary to anything that you have ever studied and ever read about, and you're thinking, wait, I've always believed this way, or this teacher has always said this, or this pastor said this, or I've always felt this way, you line it up to scriptures yourself. Go ask for other senses. Go ask for other advice if you're not even too sure. But you know, as a believer, here's what I do know that you already have. You may not know every single scriptures, and you may not know how to really prove it and back it up and be able to know for sure, but you will know this. Does it sound evil? Does it sound dishonest? Does it sound lustful? Does it sound greedy? Does it sound that Jesus is not God? Does it sound like Jesus is not the only way? Does someone say that the Bible, all of the Bible is not real, but some of those are just some good stories in there? Does it have jealousy out of there? Is it hurtful? Then it's not from God. You can listen to the intentions of how people say things and what they say and line it up that way. And if you feel something in your spirit that's not right, that's because that's God working your life telling you that's not right. Most likely, those are red flags that you need to, that is coming up, that for you to be able to lovingly challenge that. Now, in the Bible, God has allowed for false prophets to literally come to the forefront. They've always been there. And he's still basically allowing it today. And this is one of the questions that sometimes people ask me is, you know, why does God let evil happen in this world? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Why didn't God just get rid of all those false teachers and prophets and let's just get on with it and just have good people? I mean, why did all that have to happen? Why does Satan have to be here in the first place? Why does the Antichrist have to come back and be a part of all this end times? Why does all this have to happen? Why is my life, why do we have to face these temptations? Why am I struggling with my faith? Why am I being challenged this way? Those are great questions. Listen to what God says. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3, watch this. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods. You hear the heresy there? Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. This was going on, and it still goes on today. We can just put those little G-O-D-S, and we can put them in all different facets of life. You shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God, and watch this, this is why. Here's your answer. For the Lord your God is what, guys? Is testing you. To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why. God has a reason why he does. He wants to know, are you really his? God wants to know, are you really his? Are you really a follower of him? Or are you just a fan of him? Do you like the idea of Christmas? Or do you love the whole idea of who Christmas is? What are we? There's so many things in this world. If our lifestyle is contradictory to the Word of God, then we are failing the test and falling into a sinful trap. I want to say that again. If we are not following God's Word, then we are falling into a sinful trap. If we are the type of people, matter of fact, even for Christians, it's supposed to be even worse, because if you have even a person like me or a Christian that is teaching you something and you're hearing something that doesn't sound right in your spirit, you should test that. You should see if you should pass the test and come up to Pastor Troy and say, what you said does not sound right. And you may have to do this with other people and other believers, because the whole idea of later on is that this world is going to become more apostate, the falling away, not of already sinful non-believers, but of believers are going to start falling away and become apostate. And that's what we're going to get tested under. It happens every day. Matter of fact, it's happening right now. David Koresh, Ken and Gloria Copeland, Benny Hinn, Marshall Applewhite, Joe and Victoria Osteen, Sid Roth, Clarence McClendon, Joyce Meyer, Don Piper, Joseph Prince, Jesse Duplantis, Larry Hutch and Paula White, Pastor Dollar from Atlanta, and countless hundreds of other people. You can look them up and listen to some of the heresy and the craziness of what they're expecting and demanding from their congregations. And millions of people are following these people and they're not passing the test. Oh, not the pastors. They're definitely failing the test. I'm talking about all the people that are given to this and following these false teachers are failing the test. Do it with me. You challenge me. You keep me accountable. You keep any person accountable who, wherever you go for church and you worship, and you hold yourself accountable. Say, where do I stand and what do I believe? Am I holding my values and my belief systems 100% on the Word of God? This has been going on for over 2,000 years. And you know what? I feel sad. This is why I'm preaching on it this morning. You know, when I left to go to an apologetics conference out in Lubbock, I came away sad because of how many people are not able to go through that narrow gate, but instead they're going through the broad gate, and that broad gate leads to destruction. Because they think that that's because that's where everybody's going, that it sounds good, it feels good, and there's so much greatness out of that. And because of that, they're following all these people because they're famous, or they write the most books, or they have the best songs, or they have the biggest churches, or they have whatever. And we have to be really careful, and I feel sorry for them, these people. You know, my grandmother was even a victim of this a little bit. You know, she would have a group of people that would come, two or three people that would come to her house, and not something that we believed in. And they would leave this beautiful magazine. And they would sit inside and they would just spend time talking to her. And she welcomed in because she was lonely, and they were so sweet to her. But she was a victim of hearing something that was completely contradictory and heresy of what we believe in, that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah and the only way, the truth, and the life. That was never told to her. And it makes me sad. And that's why it's important that we know this. Can I just ask, you know, you noticed that at the very beginning I was talking to you about the angel tree. And I was talking to you about offering. One of the hardest parts sometimes, even as a pastor, is anytime you ever talk about money, someone's in the congregation, and for the first time it's like, there's another one. You're like, oh. Of all the times, it's like I barely speak about money as it is. But if anyone's asking you for money that will support their $30 million plane, or supporting or saying that this, by giving this, you'll have your prayers answered, or you'll draw closer to Christ by giving, that's a red flag. We would never in a million years ever do something like that at this church. Three prophecies to be valid and true must predate the event. Did y'all hear that? Prophecy to be valid and true must predate the event. Now, some of you guys were thinking, that seems pretty obvious, right? Do you know how many people do not know that literally there are false teachers out there, that things have already actually happened long times ago, years ago, months before, days before something happened, and then they'll go and they'll teach something and they'll go, oh my goodness, what you just said actually happened. And they will hold on and say, I told you so. And the people were not educated. So there are people that are preying on people that are not biblically sound or educated enough, or they will go overseas and they will share all these different things. And you can look up all craziness of stuff that will actually people will do that will literally not be predated, but they'll actually say things that have already actually happened to raise them up. Number four, the prophecy must be precise and not vague. Did you hear that? It must be precise and it cannot be vague. Again, Nostradamus, who was praised by scientists and writers and astrologers, he's this French spiritist that lived during the 1500s. His predictions have all been so vague that you can make anything you want out of whatever they say. And matter of fact, all of his followers do. None of them can actually agree on any of it. They all believe what they think, and they say, no, I think it's like this. Well, yeah, we kind of see kind of something like that. Yeah, that might have happened. And then, I mean, from 9/11 to wars to Hitler to all sorts of stuff to the end of time. Here's just one of them. Here's an example. The year 1999, this is Nostradamus that wrote this. The year 1999 in 7 months. From the sky will come the great king of terror to resuscitate the great king of the Mongols. And before and after Mars reigns by good luck. What in the world does that mean? You have to have God's brain to figure that out. But there are people that said, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. What this really is actually saying, and I quote, this is what they said. They are saying that was John F. Kennedy Jr.'s plane crash that took place in July of 1999. That's what Nostradamus predicted. That's what happened. Now, remember, John F. Kennedy Jr. was not a ruler at all. He was the editor of George Magazine. He had never resuscitated any of the Mongols or probably even knew what a Mongol was. He never did anything with Mars. And his father, the only thing that came close to Mars was his father wanted to go to the moon. That was it. That's how crazy all these predictions, and they get as ludicrous as these all throughout, and so does these false teachers and preachers and prophets that will come and claim all these things. And number five, the prophecy must contain enough events to be beyond mere human. It has to be miraculous. It has to be in a miraculous event. These five essential truths of prophecy. What about Jesus Christ? What about the truth of Christmas? See, when you study God's word right here, did you know that there are about 1,000 prophecies in the Old and the New Testament? Guys, 1,000 prophecies. Over 800 of them, 800 prophecies in the Old Testament, 200 New Testament prophecies, and 300 out of these 1,000, 300 of these prophecies relate to one person and one person only, and that is of Jesus Christ through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the second coming. 300 prophecies that I would like to go over with you guys right now. Keep the doors open, right? Can I just give you a couple as I come to an end? Thank you. Even the little girls were with me. Hang on, I'm almost done. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:4 fulfilled in Matthew 1:18 through 25. He would be the seed of Abraham. Genesis 22:18 fulfilled in Luke 3:34. He would be a teacher of the parables. Psalm 78:2 fulfilled in Matthew 13:34. He would be betrayed by a friend. Psalms 41:9 fulfilled in Matthew 10:4. Let's just move through a few of them. He would be crucified with thieves. Isaiah 53:12 fulfilled in Matthew 27:38. His garments would be torn and lots cast. Psalms 22:18, John 19:23-24 was fulfilled. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53:9 and Matthew 27:57-60. And the list goes on and on and on for another 294 or so that I did not mention. Just to be able to fulfill one prophecy. One man claimed that you would have to cover up the whole entire state of Texas with literally the 50-cent pieces, 2 feet deep, color one of them red, be blindfolded, and go get it. That's prophecy. You see where the weight really actually lies on? And Jesus did over 300. This is why this book and why we hang our heads on the fulfillment of prophecy through Jesus Christ. Luke 1:26-34 as I close up. Can we have a little bit of Christmas real quick? Luke 1:26-34 says this. In the sixth month, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent his angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Could you imagine that? "The Lord is with you." And like all of us, verse 29, Mary was confused, disturbed, distraught, perplexed, whichever version you want to use, freaking out. And Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? For I'm a virgin." When we look at her response, when we look at your response when God is saying, "You are my chosen. You are in the lineage of the priesthood, of the King of Kings. I have an assignment for you. I have chosen each and every single one of you. I love you. Greetings. Greetings." And how is this going to happen? The same thing that we ask so often. "God, how are you going to do this? Do you know my circumstance? Do you know what my struggle is? Do you know what I did last night? Do you know what I did last week? Do you know that I'm struggling with my faith? Do you know I'm not even sure if I'm trying to understand this prophecy? I'm trying to understand what we're singing about. I'm trying to figure out what this cross and why he would go and he would die for me. I'm just perplexed. I don't get it. I don't understand why, if I was truly the only one here, why he would do this for me." In verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." The Holy Spirit will come upon you too. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." The same Holy Spirit that came upon her is the same Holy Spirit that will come upon each and every one of us every single day, that will sing through you and speak through you and guide you and help you and serve you and just do unbelievable things through you, because it's the same Holy Spirit. Christmas is still going on, and you are getting to live out the Christmas story each and every day. It was miraculous. And as I spoke last week, we got to lift our eyes to the Lord each and every day, even when we don't even understand what's happening. Is God asking something of you? Are you perplexed? Are you still trying to figure out some things in your own life? This is an expression of love, because love came down. You notice you can't go up. Love came down to you first. So now we can go up to Him. He chose you. Now it's our job to choose Him. It's the coolest thing in the world. And you know what? I love the way He did it as I close. See, so many people missed it because they're all looking for something else, weren't they? They're all looking for this amazing king to come on this white horse and all these people and all these different things. But look at the way He came. Humble, noble, gracious, a servant. Who couldn't fall in love with that? As Emily read the verse of the week, so I close with verse 37. For the word of God will never fail. For the word of God will never fail. Church, this book, you can trust. You can trust this book. You may not always trust other people that come in your way, but you can always trust Christ, and you always can trust this book, because it is the way, it's the truth, it's the life, and He is the fulfiller of prophecy. The only one. He's Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare for an invitation, I am thankful, God, that You have given us the ultimate invitation to receive You as our Lord and Savior. I pray that, God, that if there's anyone here that maybe the things that I've shared today, I hope and prayed made sense. I hope it, Lord, that spoke to them. I hope that eyes and ears were open, and that, God, that Your word was received. I thank You so much for each person that You've brought here, that I know that they could be at any place right now. But God, that You chose them. And You chose them to be here to hear this particular message about Christmas. It's Your story. It's an amazing story. It's not the way that everybody thought it was going to happen, maybe, but it was the way that You said was going to happen 700 years before it happened. And so, God, we thank You that You are the true fulfiller of prophecy, that, God, that we can put our heart and everything that we have in the stake that what You say is true. No matter what comes before us, no matter what other person says, that, God, that we can hold the validity of this book as truth. I pray that, God, if there's anyone here that has questions or struggles or just needs to come before You and pray, to be able to come and maybe receive You for the first time, I pray that they can just openly just come to You. Whether they come forward or whether they stay where they are, I pray that, God, that You would just speak to them and that they could speak to You. And we just thank You for this time, for this Sunday's message. I thank You for the Lord's Day. And we just pray these things in Your name. Amen.